1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. I was flying in here today, gravel spinning. It's snowing outside pretty good, by the way. Yeah, when I was walking in, it was coming. I mean, not like a lot, but like for Georgia.
Yeah.
And I'm overdressed. I just got done doing a thing over at St. Luke's and talking to a bunch of people. So thanks for bearing with me. I mentioned this before on the air, not to pump myself up in Joshua and Grace, but I am known as the bad boy of AM Catholic radio. That's what everybody says. Everybody, you bring up Catholic radio and they say, oh, look out for John Henry Span. He's like Robert Downey Jr. in 93, but specifically for AM Catholic radio.
So, yeah. And John Henry, I must say, you are rocking the bow tie today.
Thanks,
you
man.
Are rocking the bow tie.
Take it off. I normally take it off. I usually wear a bow tie to work and when I give spiels or whatever someplace, but I left it on. You said I should keep it on, so excited about that. All right, we got a great crew today. Mm-hmm. Small, intimate up here at the Ark in Dahlonega. We got Joshua and we got Grace. You both look great. You're
thank
so put together.
Thank you, thank you.
Man, what could we got? All these good looking people in the studio today. We got producer Julian over there. No tie on.
No tie. Rocking it though.
Do we have a special guest camera for our special guest?
There might be a special guest camera because we've got a little somebody.
I'm not
going to
say
here.
Who it is. If you're listening on the radio, you're not going to have any idea who this person is. But if you're watching on YouTube, is a pretty solid throwback from days gone by. Make sure you check us out, by the way. Look at me, I'm doing your job, Julian. If you are driving, make sure that right now you slam your car into park, no matter how fast you're going, no matter where you are. Pull up the YouTubes, like, subscribe, comment something horribly offensive for engagement, right?
That's weird. Yeah, youtube.com/honest2god. And then hit that subscribe button. Our video that we released recently hit the most views in 9 days.
I saw that. That was Pierce.
Any other video.
Pierce was great.
Yeah, blowing it up. And we're gonna hit some topics to maybe try and beat Pierce.
Wait, probably. The most ever? Like even
as far as
Bollywood
views in how quickly?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because the Bollywood video blew up later.
Okay.
So in 9 days.
Cool. Yeah. That's exciting stuff. It's a great video. Check it out. But more importantly than Pierce is Joshua, or Joshua and Grace. And so today we're going to be talking about college converts. Both of you guys are converts to the faith. Super excited about getting into it. Before we do any of that, though, we've got to do fun facts. We've got to get through some of that. But prior to all of that, we got to pray. We didn't pray before the show started.
Ooh.
All right, so this one's got to be really, really good. Yeah. I don't know. When you guys want to volunteer? I know I'm just kind of throwing you into the fire there. But
do you want to take it or?
I think you'd be great at it.
Who was the most Protestant before you became Catholic? Because you're probably
me.
Okay.
Probably me. Okay.
You'll probably kill this.
Just why you got it.
Do you a Protestant style prayer? No, we got this.
Oh, Father God, we just asked Father God.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord God, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for allowing everyone to arrive safely. And I pray that you just allow us to have a productive conversation. That you allow us to be filled with your love, with your grace, and with your Holy Spirit so that we can say something edifying to the topic, edifying to each other, and so that we can just grow in the faith together. Lord, give us humility, give us grace, and give us the right words to say. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Heck yeah. Now, maybe I'm getting soft in my old age, my old young adulthood, but I'm being more generous on the prayers. I don't grade prayers anymore.
We don't grade
I was told
prayers.
Not to grade prayers. Were I to, though, I would have given them a 90, which I'm not.
90?
But I would have.
That's passing.
If I did. Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah.
And you got a good, you can tell you're a military guy. You got a good clip of your voice.
Yeah, got places to be. I gotta walk real quick, swing my hands on my side.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, speaking of the military, this episode of Honest to God is brought to you by Major Payne, the movie Major Payne from the early 90s.
Excellent movie.
One of the Wayans brothers is in it. Takes a bunch of kids. Takes them to a prep school ROTC program. Killer movie. Mm-hmm. Watched it last night with my daughter. PG didn't mean back then what PG means now.
No, it did not.
There's a lot of wordy nerds in PG movies. I learned that when I relearned that last night when my daughter was learning words that I would prefer she not know while watching Major Payne. But the first time that really dawned on me, I was watching Jaws. Mm-hmm. Jaws is PG. You know Jaws is PG?
No way.
It really? Opens with a girl skinny dipping and being very graphically mauled to death by a shark. So I did not, like, I immediately was like, oh, no, and covered that up and everything and went past it. After that, it's just gore, but pretty horrendous gore. I was not watching that with my little girl last night. I was watching that with my son a while back.
Although, in defense of old PG movies, you can count on, except for Jaws maybe, but there's less sexual innuendos than there is today. Today's PG movies scare me to no end, so I always check the ratings, the Catholic news sites. Actually, we'll put one down below of where you can find ratings in the show notes. But that's always a good bet for parents out there of young children. Check the ratings, even if it's PG. Like, you never know.
Well, and yeah, USCCB has a good one. I usually type in USCCB review and then whatever movie it is, and they usually do a pretty good job, because even if it's not sexuality, even if it's not crass language or something like that, it'll be just getting into some weird, not okay stuff
that I want my kids to talk.
I don't want to have some big discussion about gender ideology with my kid while watching some Pixar movie, but it's out there, man. It's really a shame. It really frustrates me. All right, so we're not talking about that today. We are going to talk, we're talking about college converts. I'm super excited. I've never done a double conversion story, so I'm not sure how this is going to work, but I think I think it's going to be good. But first, both of you guys are new to the show. You've never been on the show.
I did it once before.
You were on the show. Okay, yes. So you just owe us one fun fact. You owe us how many?
Three
fun facts, Grace. What you got?
Okay. My first fun fact is that I own a recalled Spider-Man poster with the Twin Towers and the Islands.
Nuh-uh.
Came out in 2001.
Tobey Maguire, the first Spider-Man movie, and it's got the Twin Towers in the back?
Yeah. That's really cool. It's like reflecting out. But yeah. So they had to recall all those posters after 9/11.
How'd you get a hold of that poster?
It was a graduation gift.
No way. That's really cool. Yeah. All right, awesome.
So, yeah, good reason to go to college, I guess.
Solid, yeah. You can get recalled Spider-Man posters sometimes in really specific circumstances.
They're a little hard to find now, but another thing, I have a twin sister, and she actually converted and joined the faith a year before I did. She's kind of the reason why my whole family came back into the church.
Is she an identical twin sister?
Fraternal, but I don't think you'd be able to tell. A lot of people think we're identical and like to tell us we are.
We're going
to
switch Grace out with her sister multiple times throughout this segment, and you tell us if you can tell. We leave a comment
down below. The time stamps.
When we switch her out.
When does it change?
She's behind those curtains, yeah.
Yeah. And another fun fact, I just graduated from the University of North Georgia.
No way. So with a degree in what?
Business administration.
What does that even mean? Like, what are you going to do with that? Sorry, that sounded way too dismissive. Yeah. Like, what are you even doing?
No, but what are your studies?
I majored in marketing, so hopefully something in sales.
Cool.
Within the next couple years.
Are you staying nearby, staying in Dahlonega?
Yeah, I grew up in this area, so yeah.
No way. Cool. We're far enough north in Dahlonega where people are actually allowed to be from the place. You know, once you get down south, right, it used to be, like now, Alpharetta, nobody's from Alpharetta, right? And if anybody says in the comments or whatever, you're a liar and you shouldn't lie. No one has ever been born and also lived in, for an extended period of time, Alpharetta, Georgia. But now even like Dawsonville, like nobody's from there anymore. Our house is up in Pickens County.
Okay.
And that's as far north basically as we are now, but further west. And up there, there's people from there with a whole lot of consternation, a whole lot of frustration about the fact that anyone would ever like move to their county.
Yeah.
And I feel that way too now. Now that I built a house, after I moved there, I decided that I was the last one. Mm-hmm. Anyone else who does it, it's personal.
It's
an affront to all of us. We the people.
It's us them relationship.
Pickens County. Yes. Yeah. We don't need any more of those outsiders. Don't move. It's great. You stay down in your suburban hellscape with your cul-de-sacs. Leave us alone with our woods and our mountains. It's
beautiful. You know, John Henry, speaking of Dawsonville and cul-de-sacs, on our way up here, my wife is here, and as you've heard in the show, my wife and I, as well as your wife, and you met at Dawsonville at a school that no longer exists. It was backed up to a neighborhood, and there was a cul-de-sac that we would go and hang out at that did not have any houses in it. Did you ever go to that cul-de-sac, John Henry? If you know,
yes, I did, Julian. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We went back there today.
Hang out is the most polite way to put it.
That's right. We went back there today, and it's loaded with houses now.
No, it's not.
There was no houses when we were there before, as you remember.
I want to go tell them all the tomfoolery that took place in that cul-de-sac.
maybe not, but I wanted to bring that up. Speaking of cul-de-sacs and Dawsonville and new houses and people not from there, I thought that was really cool.
I lived in one of those cul-de-sacs for a week after the school shut down.
Did you really?
I parked my truck there, and I slept in the back of it and just hung out for a long time until I found myself a place to stay.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure statute of limitations is up on that, so I can share that.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
So let's dive in here. I'm going to ask some questions. Like I said, normally these are one-offs, so it's just back and forth with a single person. We got two, so we're going to see how that dynamic works. I'm kind of excited about it. Can you all give us just sort of a snapshot of what you converted from? What was your upbringing like? What was your sort of religious or faith formation, if there was any, from the time you were itty-bitty Josh and itty-bitty Grace? Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first.
Share your fun fact,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't think my fun fact. Josh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Skipping over my fun fact here.
Sorry. Waiting with bated breath, Josh.
About like 3-4 days ago, I got like bad financial news, right? And so a lot of stuff was going on, and I was like kind of like pits of despair. I started praying. I'm like, I called a friend who's Protestant. He actually told me, he was like, dude, start praying on it. God will take care of
you
it.
You put all your money in one of those like Logan Paul bitcoins
or
whatever?
To that.
Okay.
Right. This is real, by the way.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I was like, I'm like freaking out. I don't know what to do. Later on, or literally the next day, I wake up 2 a.m. randomly. I check a group chat I'm in, and they're like, hey, Donald Trump just released his own cryptocurrency.
Saw that.
I put $2,000 in. It's now sitting at $8,000.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so,
how are you going to hold?
I'm going to hold till the inauguration. That's allegedly, but I'm going to hold till the inauguration.
Brilliant.
Because, yeah. That's going to skyrocket, and then I'm going to write. I found a market cap probably around 20 million, and it's already sitting at a 12 billion market cap. And so awesome. I've already got like a 3x on my initial investment, and I'm expecting it to hit a 50 billion market cap because Doge is at 50 billion. Not to get into cryptos, but like that, I'm expecting to. This is all thanks to Jesus Christ, by the way, because right. I was genuinely in like financial despair, mm-hmm. and. This, I was counting dimes to buy dinner.
Right.
Like, I was like genuinely and just quadrupled the money that I had in savings.
No way.
And okay. within like a 6-hour period. So this was like genuinely kind of a, yo, God, you're real out there. You know, like you're a real
one. That's
right
now. Cool. That's a really good yeah. fun fact.
And so
like
that's
that.
My recent fun fact is that Trump coin is making me a lot of money
is that
right
what
now.
It's called Trump coin?
I think it's called Trump coin. It's called like the official Trump token or something like that. There's a couple coming out. He made one. His son's trying to make one. And like, be careful. I would like anyone listening to this, don't just throw money at random projects and stuff. I just happen to believe in this one because. Like the leader of the free world, maybe,
right?
Which is so right. weird, but
well, if you're smart about it, right? I mean, I guess the fear is always a pump and dump scheme, right?
Where it's gonna yeah, go and I've fallen for a couple of those before, mm-hmm. so I
want
started
to do a crypto episode. We should do a crypto bro episode.
That'd be so fun.
That would be fun.
But anyway, that's for another topic. But yeah, all of this to say. God took care of me in this, and I made a lot of money on Trump coin, and I'm very excited about that.
That's really cool.
It
awesome.
Wasn't the conversion of joining the faith. It was investing in Trump coin is what made this yeah. man a Christian today. Yeah. This is why he believes.
Like, it's Donald all Trump,
prosperity gospel. Yeah. Buy Trump coin and go to church, and you mm-hmm. too can reach that level.
Can I get an amen? You know, gotta hit him with the Southern Baptist over here.
I was listening to a great back and forth of, it was Matt Fratt on John Chris's show, right? You were
you
said that to me. Yeah, it was very good. And so John Chris kept talking about, you know, the leader of the church being the Pope, and Matt kept talking about the leader of Protestantism being Joel Osteen, and the guy kept being like, no, that's not it. It's not the same thing. Don't put it on that level. Like, it's not really that kind of thing. And like, Matt knew that, but I felt like he just kept poking, because he was like, so like, if the Pope says this, then Matt would say, all right, so like, Joel Osteen says, okay, we're going to do this now. Do you all have to do it? I mean, it was very funny. It was great episode.
We'll link it down in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
My friend's a legend, by the way. He's so cool.
He's a good dude. I'm a fan. All right, so let's start with Grace then, because we just got Joshua's fun fact. Can you tell us about little itty bitty Grace and sort of your upbringing from a faith standpoint?
Yeah.
Start with, what was it like to have a twin in the womb?
Well, it was a little cramped.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it that much.
Okay.
But I was firstborn, so I am able to hold that over my sister's head.
Good. Primogeniture, like you get all your family's lands and...
Yeah.
You
know, yeah, like it all comes to me now just because I'm like 1 minute older.
Yeah,
so.
Cool.
Yeah. No big, but yeah. So I grew up in this area around Dawsonville, right? Very like Southern Baptist-y area.
Sure.
Makes sense. So that's kind of the way I grew up in the faith.
Were you raised as a Southern Baptist?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually a big fan of the Baptists. I really like the, I've given lots of shout outs on this show to black Baptist churches from the Deep South that I really enjoyed when I was younger and sort of trying to find what my, where I was going in life.
Exactly.
And I loved them. It was just me who I know it's a surprise to everyone, but I'm actually not African American. I'm a white guy. and in these churches with very pastors mm-hmm. screaming and yelling, and it felt good. It felt right. So I'm not knocking the Baptists. They're wrong about some stuff. But it's a beautiful, beautiful culture and community if you go to the right churches.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I did grow up Baptist.
Practicing? You went to church every Sunday kind of deal?
Cool.
Mostly, yeah. And then, like, also kind of, like, non-denominational at some point. Right. Just kind of trying out some different churches.
That's less cool.
Yeah, it was okay. But then it gets better because I joined college. Mm-hmm. And then through college, I joined a Christian sorority. I'm able to, like, introduce myself to a lot more Christian girls and a couple Catholic girls as well.
Right.
Because even though, like, there is such a good Catholic community up here, mm-hmm. like, at a college in Georgia, it's still very small.
Sure.
So it's a lot to try to connect with them.
I don't want you to start converting yet. I want to cut you off so I can mm-hmm. I can ask Josh about him being a little bitty Joshua.
So I was born in Livingston, New Jersey, and my parents. Sorry. I'm starting early. So my parents couldn't really have kids for a period of time. So they prayed, and then God eventually gave them two kids. Mm-hmm. Long story there. But my dad, I grew up. With my dad being a Baptist deacon. So he was he still is, by the way.
This is a weird question. Are you Hispanic?
I am. I'm Puerto Rican, like with the Spaniard side of Puerto Rico.
And your dad was a Baptist deacon.
Amen, brother.
Was your grandmother Catholic?
Both my parents were Catholic.
No.
Yeah, so they converted out.
Sorry, every time there's anybody whose last name ends in a vowel, Hispanics or Italians, and I find out they're not Catholic, I'm always like, there's a 90-year-old woman with a rosary and Our Lady of Guadalupe behind her, just very disappointed.
And their kids are telling them, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to hell.
In a room full of statues of saints. Mm-hmm. And, big shout out to all the Italian and Hispanic grandmothers.
Big shout out to Italy.
What's it called? I'm sorry, New Jersey, parents are converts away from the faith.
So I was raised, my dad was a Baptist deacon, my mom a Sunday school teacher, and I kind of grew up in that milieu and environment. And I was actually, before converting, I was a Sunday school teacher myself. Yeah. So I was very active in that church, taught in youth departments, had to like preach at camps and different things like that. And so, it was quite a shift for me. I don't know if you want to get into the story now or if there's other questions.
So, but you were you were all in.
Oh, I was sold. I was for them. I would give, and of course, you can still believe this as a Catholic, but I would give, like, I did a presentation on creationism at the public school that I went to. I was, like, homeschooled for a couple of years. Uh-huh. Like, my entire life actually revolved around IFB. So the specific denomination of Baptists I was in was called IFB Baptist. So you have the Baptists, they split off from whatever group, right? Henry Zwingli and all these other people.
Sure.
And then there's people that split off from them, right? And then there's people who split off from them.
Right.
And then people who split off from them. And that's my
got it
group.
Right.
And they got it right, and everyone else was wrong. Yeah. You know?
Man, Jesus is so lucky to have them.
I know, right? Yeah. I just felt that deep in my heart as I was in that church.
That is interesting, though. How was that presented? Was it presented? No, we got it right, everybody else is wrong? Or was it more of a sort of a relativistic, as long as you're loving Jesus, this is just the way we prefer?
No, not at all. So what's really interesting is within the IFB movement, the IFB movement was started like 19th century, mm-hmm. and they have a thing called Trail of Blood theology. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but they genuinely claim that they can trace their original Baptist, IFB Baptist beliefs through these different groups that were persecuted by the early church.
Okay.
And so they would be like, if you look at the Waldesians and the Carthaginians, they were basically IFB Baptist, and which is not true at all. And that was part of the conversion story, was me reading these people's texts, mm-hmm. like original Waldesian texts, original Carthaginian texts, and being like, Jesus isn't God? Like, is this really what we believe?
Right.
And obviously they don't believe that. So it's a completely made up pseudo history that they follow and that they genuinely believe. Like I got into a debate with the pastor about it. We can get into that story later, but I brought like facts, figures, I brought texts from multiple different sources, and it was just I'm not going to trust that because I don't know who wrote it.
A huge part of me owning my Catholic faith was reading early church fathers.
Yeah.
Once you get into that, I attribute everything to Fulton Sheen, but is it Fulton Sheen who says to be steeped in history is to cease to be Protestant? Is that him?
Sounds right. Yes, I think so.
It was one of them.
one of those really smart guys.
One of those really holy guys.
So I guess Grace and Josh, Joshua too, if you want to jump in on this too, what did you hear or what did you know or understand about Catholics growing up? Was there any kind of a conversation about that in the house?
Not really.
Thanks.
Just not really. Like my dad actually did grow up Catholic, but like we just weren't raised as Catholic.
Right.
We were just raised as Baptist. So what I like knew from Catholics just came from like television or movies.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah. I didn't really know a whole lot about
them. Well, tell us, what was your impressive impression from?
I didn't understand the whole thing with those like little circles of bread.
Right.
So I didn't really get that growing up. I didn't know what the whole big deal was about.
Really good. I shouldn't say this. Historically, before the scandals of the early 2000s, we had really great PR where every movie and show made us look way cooler than we were actually being, right? Exorcisms and like mob movies and everything made the church look really cool and mysterious for a really long time there. So that's sort of how I like saw the church growing up. It was just like weird, cool, like, I don't know, this thing that, I mean, to this day, I always make the joke about everybody loves to be non-denominational until you need an exorcism, right? It's always the Catholic priest coming in to fight the demons and whatever. Did you guys, it sounds like your theology might have been a little more rigid. What was
both my parents were converts out of it, they weren't like, I think there was a period of time where they got really strict. My dad's like, of course, since he's a Baptist deacon, he has really strong opinions about it. But growing up in it, it was very much like these people are working for their salvation. They're not going to heaven. They are, they worship Mary. It was all like the stereotypes.
Sure.
So none of it, of course, the classic stereotype early 2000s, they're all like the pedos and stuff that. So here, growing up in that milieu and environment, did they change the Bible? That was something that they would say too.
Was it like sort of the Constantine founded the church?
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah, they would talk about Constantine founding the church, which anyone who looks into Constantine's, there's very, very good evidence that he had a genuine conversion.
Oh, yeah.
Like really good evidence for that. And so, but all of that the Council of Nicaea was about removing books from the Bible with, like, that stuff like that.
So did they not use the Nicene Creed? They must use the Nicene Creed.
They don't use any creed.
Stop.
So they didn't use any creed at the Baptist. I don't know if you could say something about the Baptist church you grew up in, but I don't think Protestants, except for high Protestants, tend to really be creed heavy. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So it's more like you have a generalized confession of faith. You have the Romans Road, which is like the Romans Road is their idea of salvation, right? Which is not a horrible soteriology. It's just missing things.
Sure.
But it's that we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve hell. But God loves us. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And so, and then after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead. And so in, he promises us that if we believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then they add in the once saved, always saved, because that's how ours was. We were once saved, only to be saved church. And so it's so close and yet so far. You know what I mean?
Is that similar, Grace? So you're the once saved, always saved, sola fide, sola scriptura, all that stuff. You know, I used to be youth minister, and we would do beach retreats. And we had to sign a statement of faith. And so me and my co-youth group guy named Andrew, sat down, and because I'm not about to lie, I'm not about to deny the church to get a cheap beach house, right? It was a very cheap beach house, by the way. Big shout out to the Baptist church that ran the beach house in Folly Beach. It's the only reason we were able to go. Right on the beach, beautiful place. But we had to go through line by line, and there were like, it was almost all of it was like, great, easy, yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. But then there were a couple, and I wish that I had taken a picture of the contract, that we had to sit down and say, like, can we sign this? And then we had to say, well, let's talk about like the definition of these words and get into the ontology. And if we look at like Nicomachean Ethics and how Aristotle discusses this, maybe that's what they mean. I can sign that. Can you? Yeah, okay, great. But it is interesting how I feel like we've got a lot of infighting now, and that we do, I'm not doing this some We Are the World thing, but we've got a lot more in common than is different. And a lot of the Protestants are just, they're right here.
I think they're waking up to it.
I do too.
Like, what I notice, especially among the youth, are I see them converting in droves, especially young men converting in droves to Orthodoxy and Catholicism. Yeah, that's just a phenomenon that's happening in both my parents. So my mom, when I ended up doing the full level conversion, of course, they're trying to hit me with questions. And I was just answering my mom's questions. And she was like, I've never heard these answers before.
Right.
She's like, your stuff is making way too much sense. Like, I got to look into it. And she's starting to, I think she's going to
come
eventually.
Cool.
I think eventually. But I think her husband, and if they're watching this, of course, like my father's a Baptist deacon, so
right.
I think if anything, my dad would have to convert first.
Sure.
And I think that he is starting to look at it significantly more than he was before. And so I think that's God's cool. kind that's of huge. Prayerfully, God continues to work on my family. The Holy Spirit works on them. And then eventually we're all going to Mass one day. That'd be
praise cool. God. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so Grace, mm-hmm. when you come to college here, mm-hmm. and I assume like Catholicism wasn't something that had really even entered your mind, right? Why would it? It was sort of this.
Yeah. Far away.
So what was the first sort of inkling of interest that popped up?
Actually, it was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm sitting on a bench after class, and the Catholic Campus Ministry was doing their, like, Friday rosary walk okay. around campus.
Awesome.
And I just see them, like, just in a line, kind of marching one way, and I just keep looking at them, like, what the heck are they doing?
Sure.
Like, I have no idea what that is. That's weird to me. But, yeah, so it was probably, like, the first time I was actually, like, seeing some of that.
And yeah. how did you, I mean, what... Like, keep going yeah. with the next step.
So, like, there's just a couple moments where between that and, like, my sister starting RCIA, where it was kind of, like, gauging
right.
the faith, gauging some interest and getting some traction there. Uh-huh. But then it wasn't really until, like, my sister started RCIA, she would come home from Georgia and invite us to Mass.
Oh,
and then that's kind of yeah. how I got introduced to
it. She's at UGA. She's at the UGA Catholic mm-hmm. Center. Oh, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah.
I gave a really poorly received talk there not too long ago.
That's great. The one that I was at?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I mean, poorly received in all the best ways. I'm totally yeah. comfortable with everything.
Not poorly received.
I meant every word of it. thanks, producer Julian. But, okay, that's cool. So you had a sister who was already doing it, and then you were just sort of like, I don't know, I like the idea of this random Catholic stuff popping up around you
yeah.
fairly regularly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about you? And just very basic, because we're going to have to cut a break in a minute, so I don't want to go off down a rabbit hole, but sort of what was the first inkling of maybe this is something I should investigate?
So my conversion out of Protestantism started with a philosophy class. So I was
yes.
I majored in
okay.
philosophy and psychology, mm-hmm. and I was in a class, and a professor who was not Christian at the time, he randomly in the middle of a lecture turned around, and we were talking about Plato's theories of the minds and different things like mm-hmm. that, and he goes, there was a random movement in the 80s where a lot of philosophers left the business and they all converted to orthodoxy because they felt orthodox Christianity had a better understanding of the self. Randomly threw it out there and then just started writing on the board again. I was like, I've never heard of Orthodox Christianity. I write this down and I'm like, I'm going to research that. And I read the creeds and I'm like, I'm starting to like this a little too much. And that started my road, was a True. Random sentence that God put into a non-believer to say at a random moment.
Philosophy is a gateway drug to Catholicism.
Oh, it's 100% a gateway drug.
It really is. I've talked about this on the show before. My personal conversion started because I had a Presbyterian minister who taught me an ethics class in high school. And mm-hmm. he one day just super basic. Objectivism makes sense, right? Relativism is nonsense. And then he sort of laid out, he did the whole like self-referentially incoherent argument piece for mm-hmm. relativism. And at the end, I was like, oh no, now I have to like think about stuff. And that was the first like little pebble that started the avalanche that became my conviction.
And now you're here, and we love it.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to run to break right now, and then I can't wait. I want to really dig into y'all's conversions the second half of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. Home. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're going to hit the ground running here the second half. We got Josh. We got Grace. We're talking about college conversions, and I want to get into the conversion part of the college conversions right now, if that's okay with you guys.
Perfect.
So I think we last left talking about you've got a sister in RCIA. day. Mm-hmm. You're seeing these weird kids doing this weird prayer with these beads in their hand.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Exactly. And we've got Josh hearing some random line from a philosophy professor about, hey, turns out all these guys all of a sudden just converted to Orthodox Christianity. Mm-hmm. Boom. Where does it go from there? Either one of you.
You want to jump in first?
Sure, yeah. So I think a lot of converts, and you could probably attest to this, is that when you start getting introduced to these ideas or start going to Mass, you start to, like, kind of feel something, and you're like, something in there is just saying that this is right.
Was your first Mass with your sister when she invited you to go to Mass with her?
I went to Mass, like, twice as a kid.
Okay.
But then, yeah, I started going consistently by my own sister inviting me. I would never go by myself.
Cool.
But, yeah, but, like, starting to go and be like, I actually really like this. Like, I actually like the reverence of this, and, like, this feels right. And, like, it's just something, like, inside of you, and it just, like, calls out to it. So, yeah, but do you feel
something about being in the presence of Jesus Christ in a real physical way?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. 100% something to add on to that. It's, like, it's really easy, I feel like, to, well, it's not. It depends person to person. But for me, it was very easy to go from, like, a Protestant service and then visit a Catholic or Orthodox service. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to, like, to attend back a Protestant service.
Oh, interesting.
And I was, like, because it felt... And I don't mean any insult to the Protestants watching. This is just genuinely the sentiment I got. I was like, it felt like I did the adult thing, and then now I'm doing a kid's service.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and do you chalk that up to the Blessed Sacrament being present, or?
Yeah, I think I chalk it up to ritual. I chalk it up to. I mean, you got to remember, like, for you it was going to the Mass the first time. For me, it was Divine Liturgy. Mm. So for me, it was a roller coaster. I go in there, icons on the wall, lighting a candle, placing
Greek
it in the
Orthodox.
Sand.
It was
a Greek Orthodox place called Holy Cross Greek Orthodox Church in Stroudsburg, New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And what's funny is they were doing the blessings of the Holy Scriptures. So at that point, there's a part in the service where everyone gets up, stands, and they go to the priest, and the priest gives them the blessing with the Holy Book. I didn't get up. I sat in the back because I'm like, I don't know what's going on, you know? Like, I'm waiting.
You're scared to move. You're
Exactly. The priest, who was a young priest, it was actually his first day at that parish. He sees me not get up. He walks to the back in the middle of the liturgy.
This guy
ruined me. This guy walks to the back and goes, crosses me with the Holy Scripture and goes, I just wanted to give you a blessing, and then continues the liturgy. I break down.
Stop.
I was like, you don't realize how much you need certain things until it happens.
Right.
And I just break down. And I was like, wow, now I feel like a little girl, now I feel like super weak in the back of this church. These old Greek ladies are standing up for 2 hours and they're not shedding a tear.
Right.
I'm like, my legs are quaking, you know? But yeah, it was that. I definitely agree with you that there's a certain reverence that you get in those services.
I heard a great story from some guy whose first Catholic Mass was, I forget when this hit falls in the liturgical calendar, but you know how you'll have the crucifix brought down, everybody comes up and kisses the feet of the cross, and their first ever
Good
Catholic
Friday.
Mass is everyone coming up and kissing Christ on the cross, and they're like, what on earth is going on? And then communion that they've never seen before happens at a very reverent church. Everybody's on their I kind of like that trial by fire, though.
I like it, too. Yeah. I think it's a good shock. It's like dunking your face in cold water, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wakes you up.
So what happens then? Right? You're interested in the faith. Do you start reading? What do you read? What do you really dig into? I mean, we're blessed right now because as bad as sort of our screen addicted society can be, it is amazing to be able to go on YouTube and type in something like Catholic apologetics or what do Catholics believe about this. And surprisingly, I was doing this the other day. Almost always the top result, if you type in why do Catholics do this, or what, is from Catholic Answers, or like a Father Mike Schmidt video, or some really good, authentic, it's not some guy just like Pastor Bob saying, well, the Whore of Babylon, they do this because they worship the devil or something, right? So what does that look like as you're sort of starting to investigate and get more into your faith?
Yeah, for me, it was just asking a lot of questions, and I had moved up to Dahlonega at this point and started going to Mass consistently over last summer. Because I live like right across the street from St. Luke's. So I started going to there.
That's huge, like across from the park?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so super close. I walk there every Sunday.
That's great.
But I just thought I need to surround myself with a bunch of people who are Catholic and just kind of be able to absorb that and just.
Who are you asking lots of questions to? Your sister?
to my sister. I made a lot of friends in the Catholic community and then joined, like, the young adults group.
Right.
So I would just go visit with them and talk with
Father
them.
Father Matt is a phenomenal resource.
He's great.
In all of that.
I asked him a lot of questions. He actually gave me a book.
What book was it?
Oh, gosh. It was by Leo Tresse. I can't remember the title of it, but just for, like, people who are asking questions and explaining, like,
I keep an extra copy of Rome Sweet Home and Trent Horn's Why We're Catholic in my car, and I give it to randos fairly regularly and replenish it. My school, we buy the Why We're Catholic books that everybody should check out by Trent Horn. We buy them by the case, right, and we give them out to people. It's excellent, like 10th grade reading level, super easy, quick read, and it's all episodic. So it's not like a narrative that you read from front to back. You literally go to the index and it says, why do Catholics do this? And it's like, why do we believe in truth? Why do we believe in the historical Jesus? Why do we believe that Jesus Christ was God? Why do we believe in the resurrection? And then it eventually gets all under the weeds. And what is the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception? What is the Catholic Church's teaching on X, Y, or Z? It's excellent. So big shout out to Why We're Catholic.
To do a quick plug, as we all know, Father Matt did his conversion story on this, actually in this studio. So we're going to link it down in the show notes below. Father Matt is incredibly, he's highly educated, has a Juris Doctorate, and was practicing law here in Dawsonville and then converted to the faith. And it's just an incredible story. So we'll share it down below.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned this before on the air, but he has confession before every single Mass, which every single priest should do. If you are a priest and you don't currently go sit in the confessional for 30 minutes before Mass starts, you should. You should do that. Stop not doing that and do that.
Amen.
That's great.
Your coffee break or whatever before you go to Mass is way less important than the salvation of souls, and everybody needs to be in there.
By order of John Henry.
Yeah, not here to tell our fathers what to do, but
I'll tell them what to do. I need it, so you guys start doing this.
Please make it available.
I love it.
It would help.
As a result, there's never like a line at St. Luke's, really. I mean, you get there a little early. We were there for Christmas Eve Mass, and Mary Margaret, my 10-year-old, said, I need to go, and it's the best thing in the world. What about you? What about digging into, like, what are you reading? Who are you talking to?
Yeah, for me, as soon as that class ended, I went back to my room, and I'm like, I'm a little bit of an autistic nerd, you know what I mean? So I get on my
Great.
I start Wikipedia, Rabbit Trail of the Early Church, and I start reading it. I start buying, I think one of the things I read was like the sign of the cross, like descriptions in the early church of the sign of the cross. And then St. Augustine writing about how his mother used to make the sign of the cross on his forehead and would put holy salt on his tongue. And I was like, this is old. Because the first thing I thought was, I was like, Augustine is like 4th, 5th century.
Clearly he's a Baptist.
Exactly. Right. I was like, clearly this guy's a Baptist, like he's hissing and hollering amen, hopping onto the pulpit and stuff. But no, I read this, and then slowly over a couple months I realize that as a Sunday school teacher, because I'm still a Sunday school teacher at this time, I realize I'm starting to not believe anything Baptists teach. I'm starting to realize, like, baptism is a part of salvation. It's not a pure symbol. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to realize the communion is the body and blood of Christ. It's not a symbol.
Right.
And that salvation, that it's described as, Paul describes his salvation as being worked out in fear and trembling, which implies that it's something that you can lose. Mm-hmm. And so reading all of this, they would grab me and be like, oh, Josh, I need you to talk to this guy. And I'd have a conversation with the guy, and I'm like, I can't tell you what they want me to, because I'm too, like, truth-driven.
So you're talking to a guy about what? Like, what was
like it? To witness to a guy, to give him the Romans road, once saved, always saved, all that jazz, right? And so eventually I come out to the pastor. It was like coming out as gay, like, in all honesty, coming out to my parents and to the pastor, like, hey, I think I believe this Orthodox stuff. They were like, no, you don't. They were like, what did we do something wrong?
Oh, no.
All this stuff.
Never should have let him watch whatever when he was a kid.
Oh,
Zach and Cody, they did this. The Sweet Life ruined him.
What's that one movie with the exorcisms, you know, The Conjuring? They're like, you watched The Conjuring one time, and now you're, you know? And so So eventually, I have this conversation with the pastor for a while, and he was like, oh, go visit an Orthodox church and see if you think it's the early church. And, like, he was expecting me to go be like,
he'll
whoa.
He'll be back
so quick. I came back the next week. He's like, so what did you think? I was like, that's it.
100%.
I was like, I found it. And then he was like, really? And then eventually, I had, like, debates with this guy for, like, 6 months, but I'm still a Sunday school teacher. There was some drama going on in the church at the time, and I was like, I can't really just leave. Like, my entire family's located in this church. If I leave, it's scandalous.
That's
because
the toughest part, the community piece.
Not only that, like, that was my entire life. Like, I left every single friend that I had made up until that point that I had had for over a period of like 6 months was from that church.
Right.
So I literally gave up everything in my life. And I was like, I don't know how to leave though. And COVID happens and the church shuts down for like a 6 month period.
It's Joshua's fault.
So
Joshua caused, God sent COVID so that Joshua wouldn't have any
chill. I know some of you lost people very important to me, but I need, no, I'm joking. I have a dark sense of humor, forgive me.
God, no, but anyway. God, seriously, God did work through COVID in a lot of ways.
God did
a
lot.
Horrible things happened for sure, yeah. Right? Repose in the souls of all, anyone who's lost to that. But I have heard so many stories that came out of COVID that were very positive in regards to people's sort of faith yeah. journey and their understanding of what's actually important and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's where I came back, as you were.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can check out Julian's conversion story.
We'll link it in the
just
show
just to
notes.
Make sure that if producer, if show notes Benny is here, he's got plenty to do, including that in the show notes. All right, what about you, Grace? Did you have pushback? Was there pushback from you?
There wasn't a lot of pushback because, like while your whole family was kind of separate from you in that sense, mm-hmm. like mine was coming into the church with me because my sister wasn't invited, just
too?
Me. Yeah, like my sister was just like, who wants to come to Mass?
Cool.
Yeah. So I didn't really experience a lot of pushback, and it's actually funny. I started like getting a lot of Catholic friends and involving right. myself in the ministry up mm-hmm. here, and then after I didn't want to tell them that I wasn't Catholic.
Right.
I was afraid.
You just let everybody
I was embarrassed. Yeah.
yeah.
So like months go by, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't come over. I got to go to RCIA, and they're like, you're not Catholic? They're like, oh, I thought you were Catholic the whole time.
Cool.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I was like, whoa.
And then they stop being friends with you.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Right now.
Trying to crucify you.
Were you baptized?
I wasn't. No.
You had been baptized?
Yeah, because like.
You lucky.
For
duck.
The churches.
You get full remission
yeah.
of sins and all temporal punishment. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like the churches I went
Man.
To, like, do you want to get baptized today? And I'm like, not really in this like.
So you had never been baptized?
Yes. So, because I don't know, every time the opportunity had been, like, brought up to me, I was like, I don't know. Something about this just doesn't seem right.
No
so
way.
Just kinda,
that is
like,
wild.
Me.
Speaking
so,
of Constantine, you know, he doesn't get baptized until his deathbed.
Yeah, which was an early church custom.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It was, and he was actually, I think he was baptized by an Arian bishop. But that still counts. You can be baptized by a Jewish guy, and
be,
it
yeah.
still counts. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be somebody who's even Christian. And that is reason number 10,000 why, talking to you Western bishops, Constantine should be recognized as a saint in the West. Sorry, I'm a big Constantine fan. If I have another boy, it's going to be a middle name. I like actually I like yeah. Constantine the 11th. He's my favorite Constantine.
Yeah,
that's another story for another time. okay, so you're getting all this pushback from your pastor and your parents too.
Yeah. So my mom came around pretty quickly. My dad was like the worst. So for a period of like 2 years, I was just going to this Orthodox church, and my dad like I was not treated kind of like well in my own home on the fasting seasons, which their fasting seasons are strict for the Orthodox, right?
Yeah.
So like if I bought vegan food for myself, my dad would eat it, and I would have like nothing to eat for
just
a period of time.
Just like kind of poke you a little bit.
I don't know. It's like to this day, I don't know. He'll deny it. All I know is there would be like it was a very turbulent house for a period of time.
I will say though, from parents, and I know that you're not being disparaging of your parent, but I get it. I understand the pain that a father would feel.
Yeah.
If his child is saying, hey, I'm actually rejecting this thing that's a super
yeah.
important part of you for something that you're
that
kind
you
of
left.
Zero hostile to. Yeah.
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 So that's the crazy one is it's like I raised you up to be this thing and now you're going to choose something mm-hmm. else. It would be hard. And it's understandable, but yeah, like you're saying, I'm not a parent. Like, I have no context for that.
Right.
And so I could, like, lie right now and say, if I was a parent, I'd be rational and this is that.
Right.
But if my kid came to me and was like, oh, I'm going to convert to Judaism, I would be like,
right.
dude, what are you doing? Like,
no, you're not.
Buddy.
Like, yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nuh-uh. But I'd have to figure out how to at least have the rational conversation. Because I think that was a big one, is that religion's one of those things that unless you're a bit autistic about, like, or it's hard to have rational conversations
sure.
with people.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, sure.
it's very emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. They're not doing, logical arguments. And when you're coming from a philosophy background, you're already making enemies because every conversation kind of has to be horrible.
Right.
You're like, well, your conclusion didn't follow your premises and modus
right.
ponens and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And
something emotionally charged where you have to start the conversation with, well, first let's define terms.
Exactly. That's and no not, one likes that. Like, right. if any of you are in a relationship and mm-hmm. your significant other is yelling at you and you go, first let's define our terms, right, exactly. the fight's not going to work out. So that happens. I go to this Orthodox church for 2 years, and then on a Discord server online, I start praying with some Catholics. I start this relationship with Catholics, and on TikTok, there was some Catholic girl, I can't remember her name, but she was posting these videos, and I started arguing for Orthodoxy, because I had read a bunch of early church stuff at mm-hmm. this point, and I was a catechumen for 2 years by this point.
Right.
And so...
Hey, early church, we were on the same team, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
The Orthodox were still bros for the first 1,000
Well, I was like, we were right,
years.
And you guys split off and did your little Pope thing, yeah. And this 16-year-old makes me look like I'm a silly Billy, you know? Like, he starts, this guy comes out, and he's just whooping me with, like, theology of the Pope, the philosophy around it, early church letters, and I tell this guy mid-debate, I was like, listen, man, you know more about this than I do, which is rare for me to say in an argument. Like, right.
Even if I believe it, I don't admit that often.
No, exactly. Yeah. I was like, listen, man, you know more. I was like, I'm not going to convert at the moment, but I'm definitely going to give more time. Do you have any suggestions? And I recommend anyone who's listening buy this book. It's called Compendium of Evidence for Papal Primacy. And it's a little book. It's a little notebook. And it just has quotes from the early church to support mm-hmm. the papacy, starting from like 50 AD mm-hmm. to 1000 AD, which is right before the split.
Right.
And so what's really cool about the book is that I've showed this book to setes, to set of a contest, right. And they'll be like, oh, I read 7 pages and now I believe in the Pope. Like it's that good.
I'm gonna buy that book.
Yeah.
More pop theology. I use the word pop theology.
It's just the quotes.
No, I'm saying for a more pop theology version, Patrick Madrid has a great book called Pope Fiction.
Oh.
And it takes all the arguments against papal supremacy and then he supports it. It's an easier read. I have on my bookshelves at home, I have like the dense theology section mm-hmm. and then the pop theology. That's like Surprised by Truth and some of those things that get into it a little lighter. But yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. I'm going to buy that book.
Yeah, 100%. And that was reading that book. I remember I was sitting in my backyard. I was kind of like sunbathing, just chilling, reading this book, smoking a pipe. Right. And then I was like, pipe of tobacco, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we had no doubt, Joshua.
Because you know we're good Catholics. And I just was like, oh, shoot, I have to convert. You know what I mean? Like it was like a click moment of
lame.
Like, oh, no.
Not again.
And that was the thing, I was like, this would be like coming out to your parents as gay and then telling them you're trans, you know? And they're like, is this like a phase? Like, what are you going through, dude? And so I then come to my parents and I'm like, I think I'm Catholic. And they're like, well, in a year from now, you'll be Mormon.
Right.
I was like, oh, no. Like, and so I have to tell my priest this, and I hit him with this question, which I still think is the really hard Orthodox question that they can't really answer.
Give it to us. We're going to close it. It's going to be great.
What makes a council ecumenical? Because the Catholics have a good answer for that. It's does the Pope sign off on it and agree to it?
Right.
Then it's ecumenical. But if you say, well, because the majority of the church agrees to it, Councils of Chalcedon and Nicaea, you had huge portions of the church leaving.
Yeah.
And
Nicaea,
so,
I think the majority of the bishops present were supportive of the Arians, weren't
yes.
they?
Yeah.
Nicaea? Yeah.
And so when you go through, there's three different answers that they give. And of course, I'm not trying to like poo-poo on Orthodox theology with like a very short answer. But I have not really heard a good answer by any Orthodox on this issue of what makes a council ecumenical. And that's a big deal because their entire theology claims to not come from any papal supremacy, purely from ecumenical councils, namely the first 7, and then there's like 2 or 3 after
right.
that. But if you can't tell me what makes a council ecumenical, or if you tell me that you know it's ecumenical because it was accepted over a period of time, mm-hmm. then that means you never know when a council is ecumenical until some random future date.
Right.
So then it's like, why should I follow any council? And it's like, it's a really, really like niche theological issue that I haven't gotten a good answer on. There's probably some Orthodox people that if they're watching, they're going to clip this and make a debate video about it.
Great.
But
please do that.
Yeah, I genuinely, it's a genuine question. But yeah, that's what caused me to be Catholic. And then I had a friend from the college I went to. He was like a monk, basically. And like vows of poverty, chastity, mm-hmm. celibacy, all that jazz. And then I come to him, and I was his Orthodox friend.
Right.
And then I come out to him one day, and I'm like, I got to be baptized. I've been waiting for 2 years for the sacraments. Can I just get them, like, tomorrow? And he tells me no. He's like, you need to go through the whole process like everyone else.
Oh.
And then I was baptized on Easter, and I was glad I did it his way because I did learn a lot during that. Not so much. You can know all the theology in the world. There's theologians in hell. Like, that's something that needs to be known. Theologians are in hell. And so you need to realize that Christ wants a relationship with you, not just with the facts in your head.
Theologians are trophies in hell, in the same way that priests and bishops are trophies in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always telling, like, you... By, especially as a Catholic, as a member of a capital C church, right, where you are, you're baptized indelible mark, right? You're confirmed indelible mark. All those indelible marks on your soul can be are jewels in your crown in heaven, or they can be trophies for the demons in hell. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say,
Peter? Yeah, so we talked about it on the show a few times, and I know I've heard it on Pints with Aquinas and others, and Josh just brought it up. Pipe tobacco, pipe smoking. It is the gateway to the Catholic faith. So Amen. If you have a friend who's away from the faith, or a friend who you were trying to convert, or a child who might be away from the faith, say, hey, let's smoke a pipe together, and you might just get them into the faith. We're declaring that today, the gateway to the faith.
It would be like a chimney sweeper from the old 19th, 20th. Exactly, that built real men.
Chimney chew. Yeah. Grace, did you have any big picture, like big questions, big struggling points, sticking points?
Something that was introduced to me that I had trouble with was that growing up Baptist, I never really knew anything about Mary. You just kind of hear about her giving birth to Jesus at Christmas, and then the rest of the year, it's nothing.
It's so true.
Was there anything, like, can you tell me sort of what your understanding of Mary was? I assume, like...
Just the mother of Jesus.
And she had other kids, too.
I heard that, but it wasn't really something that was, like...
She just never came up at all.
Yeah, really come up ever. So yeah, so like, you know, you get introduced to the rosary, mm-hmm. and then like all these days and everything.
Yeah, you go from not, like, talking about Mary to like usually talking about Mary.
Yeah. So in the whole like Mary as the mother of God, mm-hmm. That was really interesting. But yeah, I had never heard of that until I like started RCIA.
Were there any big sticking points that you sort of struggled with and had to ask a lot of questions on and dig into and I don't know, just wrestle mm-hmm. with for a while?
Probably the Eucharist, like...
Oh, tell me about that.
It was just so bizarre to me, like, coming in, not knowing anything about it. Mm-hmm. And, like, the idea of the sacraments were so attractive to me, but still it was hard for me to kind of wrap my head around, like, what this actually was. But I went to adoration a lot, and that helped.
Does the Baptist church hold that they're... I know that's a big question, because it's not like there's one Baptist church, mm-hmm. but typically, mm-hmm. Do they hold that there's any sacraments? Do they acknowledge the existence of sacraments? Like, I know the Methodists say that, no, that's a sacrament, that's not a sacrament.
Yeah, I mean, like, ours just had, like, baptizing. There was no confirmations, mm-hmm. or... Like, I know a lot of Baptist churches have, like, the croutons and, like, grape juice and stuff, but, like, ours didn't have that.
I had some croutons and grape juice at a Baptist church with a girlfriend of mine in high school.
Really good.
By then I was like very interested in the faith, and I wasn't sure, like the Catholic Church, and I wasn't sure whether or not that was like blasphemous for me to do it. And mm-hmm. I mean, now if I were at a Baptist church for a wedding or something, sure, I'll eat your crouton. Like, I realized that there's no, but at the time I was like, is this going to make God mad? I wasn't sure what was mm-hmm. what the deal was, so I didn't eat the croutons. I just mm-hmm. had a little shot glass of grape juice and a little crouton. Yeah. I want to go on. I'm serious about this. I want to take my kids and do like church field trips. Like, I want to go to different churches and check them out and just like go to a vigil mass, and then on Sunday see what the Baptist Church at the Rose is doing, or the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church. I just think it's interesting, and it was a part of my life growing up. Yeah. And there's something to be gleaned there. A lot of the Protestants do a much better job, talking about theologians in hell, do a much better job of that relationship with Christ and saying, mm-hmm. no, what's most important is that you love Jesus. They do a really good job with that piece, that relationship piece. Obviously, they miss out on some of the big stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of super big stuff. But yeah.
But they're great at personal formation, I would agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got about 3 minutes left before we go to break. Any advice for someone who is maybe interested in this? Maybe somebody gets this video sent to them because they're talking about the faith. They have a friend who's trying to say, explain why they're Catholic. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody who has like just a little spark of interest in the Catholic Church?
Say, ask a lot of questions. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself to people and try to surround yourself with as many people as you can. And don't be afraid to go up to them and bring up those things.
I think a beautiful thing about being Catholic is, I teach theology to little guys, right, to 12-year-olds and then to 15-year-olds. Ask all the questions. Ask mm-hmm. all the questions. Mm-hmm. Wrestle and share your doubts, and you're gonna have so many, I think I finally got them, and the church is wrong moments, mm-hmm. and you're going to find out that some monk 1,200 years ago was, like, dismissed that so, like, in 5 seconds and says, like, that's a great argument if you're a child, right? Because... we're not afraid of questions of the Catholic Church. We want you to dig into it because the fullness of truth is found in here. So you can get to that truth if you just keep digging and keep asking. What about you, Joshua?
You're going to hate my advice. It was the advice given to me and that I gave to a friend who actually ended up converting. My advice for people who are thinking about converting is do not convert. Don't convert. God will make it so clear to you that you need to convert, that you will not be able to fight against it at that point.
You can't avoid it.
You won't, like, yeah.
It'll always be in the back of your head.
Like, if you're trying to, like, facts and tables and logic your way into the church is not facts and tables and logic. It's Jesus. It's God. It's the people who are in it. It's the body of Christ. And all, like, literally the basics. Continue in trying to follow Christ wherever he leads, and just be open. And don't think, this guy's got the right syllogism for it. No, like, focus on Christ. He'll lead you where you need to go. The Holy Spirit will control it. So if you feel like, I need to convert by XYZ date, don't convert. Like, God will make it happen. Mm-hmm. That's my advice.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine is go to adoration. Well, go to Mass, right? And then go to adoration. Mm-hmm. We had seminarians over the other day and for dinner, and they were all just talking about how every single one of them, right, them becoming Catholic or taking their faith seriously, they're already Catholic, and they're realization of their call, their vocation to the priesthood, all happened during adoration. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 5 minutes, even if it's just popping in, go check it out. Go to a Catholic Mass and pray. And don't judge us if the priest gives a terrible homily. It's not about the homily, which Father Matt never does. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have today. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It was a blast. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.